So we're reading James chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word this morning, which you spoke and speak to us now. Help us, Lord, to hear your word in our hearts and in our lives and in our heads and in the practice of our lives this week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to take a look at the letter of James. I don't know if you have ever taken time to read it. It's one of my sort of favorite books in the New Testament, favorite letters in the New Testament. And it's a really helpful and practical book. We believe it was written by James, the brother, younger brother of Jesus. And it was written at some point between 44 AD and 62 AD when he was martyred. And it's written in and about Jerusalem. It's written largely to Jewish believers, but it's not exclusively directed at Jewish believers. There's sort of ideas, Greek thoughts in there, Hellenistic thoughts in there as well, which would suggest it had a wide audience. And it was widely accepted very, very quickly as being written by James and to have the authority of Scripture. And it is a really, really powerful letter. One of the things that has been really hard over the last 14, 15 months is just how do we practice our faith when everything around us has changed? It's been really, really a difficult time. We've had to adjust. We've had to change how we do stuff. We went online and learned skills, how to communicate the gospel and worship the Lord online, and it's been far from ideal, but it's been a very practical response to the situation we find ourselves in. The Christian faith is a very practical faith. And as we look at chapter 1, what we discover, what often people will major on and focus in on, is the discussion in there of the idea of facing trials and troubles. It's one of the great themes of the letter of James. James wrote it to people who were facing great problems in their lives. And that would be, that's the easy way to approach James chapter 1. That's what it's all about, and to focus in on that. But actually, if we look at it, we'll see that a lot of this is about trying to be wise in the face of the difficulties that all of us face in life. We all need wisdom. We need day-to-day wisdom to make good choices in the world in which we live. The world in which we live now, people have more choices than they have ever had before. More freedom to make choices, more resources to make choices than at any point, I think, in history. And with great freedom comes great responsibility, and with great freedom comes the possibility of us making terrible choices. So it is now it is more important than ever that we make good choices, that we make wise choices. I wonder what choices you have had to make this week. What wisdom have you needed to have in your life? Have you bothered to check out whether you're making a wise choice, or have you just simply said, I'm going to do this because it's what I want to do? How many times have you chosen to do something and it's turned out to be a really bad idea because you haven't thought it through? And above all else, you have not sought God's wisdom. Phil's little exercise this morning was about the wisdom of crowds. Now, there can be great wisdom in seeking the counsel of others. However, the crowd can sometimes be wrong. Actually, the crowd can quite often be wrong, because we talk a lot about herd immunity at the moment, don't we? We're seeking herd immunity so that enough of us are vaccinated and enough of us have antibodies against COVID-19 that things will begin to improve. So there is that thing called herd immunity, but there's also the herd mentality. You just go where everyone else is going. That is not necessarily a place of wisdom. In fact, it can be a place of disaster. Some would say that the culture that we are living in just now, although it prizes individuality, actually people go along with the crowd. I don't know if you saw the scenes from the nightclub the other night, a nightclub in Liverpool that has opened up, and that all the young people are gathering and giving it this and dancing, doing all the things that you guys like doing as well. And it looks great fun, but there's everybody just going along with the crowd. That's what you do if you're a young person, or many young people will do that. There is a danger in that. And the focus in James chapter 1 is this, I think. Rather than focus in on the problems and the difficulties and how God might help you, I actually think that this chapter is really about seeking wisdom. Verse 4 says this, for perseverance must finish its work so that you must be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. If any of you lacks wisdom. All of us find ourselves in that situation where we lack wisdom. And the question that we're asking today is, how can I grow in wisdom? It doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 60 or 90, you might accumulate a lot of wisdom as you go through life, but actually, I know lots of people who are very, very old who are not very wise. They have never learned wisdom. They continue to make bad choices to the end of their days. It is never too late to start seeking wisdom. You might have great thoughts and great ideas. You might operate your life in the way that you want to do. But the question is, do you have wisdom? Are you being wise? Now, we need wisdom. This passage explains to us why it is that we need wisdom, i.e. a source of wisdom that is not just from our own thinking. Four reasons that we need wisdom. One, we need wisdom because of trials. Difficulties will come your way. Verses 2 to 4 and verse 12 talks about that very explicitly. Trials will come your way. What trials have you faced this week? What difficulties have you faced this week that have made life awkward or difficult? Now, I don't know that it's talking about those difficult things that you face in life, those hard times. You know, are one of our biggest trials this week. Someone said to me, you'll use this as a sermon illustration this week. So here it goes, Sandy. So one of our big trials this week was we discovered that we had going against the social distancing rules that we've been following. We found that we had a visitor in the house who had decided to break the social distancing rules and decided to move in with us. We discovered this because of the little substances that they left all around the kitchen and in my little office at the back of the house. We had a mouse move into our home. Now, frankly, I thought this was quite a nice thing. Someone else in our house, not quite so much. So we did the thing that you do when you have a mouse come to visit. I went online and found out, you know, what's the best way of getting rid of the mouse. I love the fact that people will say stuff like, you should get one of these humane traps, because if you get a humane trap, it gets into a little box and it traps it, and then you drive it a mile away into woodland, and you think, that's great. That's I think, what I'm going to do to help out this little mouse so I don't have to both kill it and see it. So I thought, I'll get one of these things. And then I read up a bit more about it. And apparently the experts say that is actually much crueler, because you're taking it away from its place that it's used to. And if it's got any family, we don't know whether this mouse has got any family or not nearby, but it's actually crueler, and it leaves it to suffer from exposure and all sorts of things. So the suggestion is the only thing that helps if you do that is you, because you feel a little bit better about not having done the deed with the mouse. So we went the conventional route, and at 11:30 last night, I went downstairs for a visit and went in to check the traps. And there was our little furry field mouse friend, who is now gone to field mouse heaven. And it was a source of great pain. I actually felt quite good about it. I felt like I'd been hunter-gatherer and achieved my manhood this week by tracking down this mouse. And my wife did not have to even see this poor creature in its state, although I did take a photograph of it just to show that I had been hunter-gathering. Now, that was a bit of a trial this week, but in the grand scheme of things, it is nothing. It might upset us, it might worry us. You might dream about mice as a result of the story that I've just told you, but it is as nothing compared to what the believers in Jerusalem were facing in terms of persecution. And so when it talks about trials, it's not talking about those difficulties in life. Of course, we need to seek wisdom when we're facing those minor little things in life. We need something outside ourselves. We don't just jump into action. We need to research. We need to ask questions. We need to find the best way of handling it. But this is talking about the difficulties of when you are facing pressure. Pressure for being a believer. Not just the simple difficulties of life, but the pressures of following Christ, of owning up to Him, of belonging to Him. Now, many of us probably don't face much pressure because we don't own up to Him very much. And we don't face that sort of pressure. But increasingly, if you come out, I'm going to use that phrase, come out of the closet and say, I've come out as a believer, then you'll take some ridicule, or you'll take some suggestion that maybe you're a little bit off your head, or people will try to put you in a box. And we need wisdom how to respond to that. Sometimes people respond aggressively. I'm a Christian and I must stand up for my rights. It's my right to be a Christian and I'm going to fight for my rights. And we need to ask the Lord, well, Lord, what is the right way to behave in the face of any sort of pressure that I'm experiencing? How do I love those who are putting me under pressure? How do I help those? How do I serve you in the face of that? You see, we don't just react. We seek the Lord's vision. for our lives when we face that sort of pressure. So we need wisdom because of the trials that we might face. We also need wisdom because we will face temptations. Verse 13 says this, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own desire, he's dragged away and enticed." We need wisdom because we will be tempted. Temptation is all around us. Temptation to watch too much. Temptation to listen to things that aren't helpful, words that aren't helpful. Temptation to read stuff that's not helpful. Temptation to look at stuff that's not helpful. Temptation to eat stuff too much. Temptation to drink stuff too much. Temptation to put a bet on when you shouldn't be doing that. Ever been tempted to do it? Maybe you do that when it's the Grand National or something. But temptation to use resources in a way that are not going to be helpful to you or to others. All sorts of temptations that we might face. What temptations have you faced this week that you've needed wisdom beyond yourself? Or thirdly, we need wisdom because of different or changed circumstances. Verses 9 to 11 talks about rich people and poor people. People in high position, people in low position. And then talks about, but everybody's passing away. You can be rich or you can be poor, but we are like flowers. We're watching flowers blooming at the moment in our gardens, and the daffodils springing up. But the daffodils have wasted away. They're just beginning to go now. And whenever I look at them, I'm reminded of verses like this that remind us that our lives pass away quite quickly. And our circumstances change. Things might be different. We might be in one place one day, and then the next day things might be different. And in the midst of those changed circumstances, those different circumstances that different people find themselves in, that we need to seek wisdom. So if we're rich, if we've got lots of resources, we need to seek the Lord's wisdom for how we use those resources to help other people, not just to help ourselves. And if we are poorer, we need God's help to know how to live with that, with having less in the way of resources. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. Do you know why James says that? James recognizes that in the Lord's economy, it's not the rich who have the grand place. Jesus himself said it's difficult for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' focus is on those who are poor, who have less resources, those who are humble in their resources, have a preciousness to God, to Jesus. So we need wisdom to know how to cope with the circumstances that we face day by day. The fourth thing is this. Here's another reason why we need wisdom. And we find it at the end of this section, verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Don't be deceived. Why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom because of deceit. We live in a world that is full of deceit. We have voices that would seek to deceive us. We even have voices in churches who would seek to deceive us. That's why when a preacher stands up, when someone shares from God's word, we need to be discerning and seeking wisdom. Lord, is this coming from you, or is that simply coming from that person? Is this coming from your word, what you're speaking, or is it coming because of someone's preset agenda, something that they want to get over? There is a lot of deceit even in the church, and there is deceit in the world as well. Prime Minister, are you a liar? Who knows? We don't know. It's an interesting thing to suggest, but deceit is all around us. And so we need wisdom in the face of that. When you cast your vote, and presumably most of us will have cast our vote by post, in the run-up to Thursday's election, we have to ask the question. One of the questions we have to ask is, what is true? Who is speaking truth? And it is difficult to know that. We need to research it. Many of us will just vote this way because that's how we've always voted. We won't have interrogated anybody. We won't have interrogated the manifestos of the parties. And there is a danger in that. Whatever we get a vote, my view is we need to research it. We need to look into what people are offering us. I took the time to look at the 19 different parties who are on the regional list this week. And I thought, I'm going to give everybody a chance because I might give a vote to one of these other 19 smaller parties. I might use that vote to vote in a different way. So I looked at the manifestos. I thought, oh, there's good things in here. I like this. And there's good things in there. I like that. And at the end of it, I was no clearer about whether I should give a vote to someone else, because I couldn't really discern anybody who deserved my vote, frankly. But at least I went through that process and said, who should I vote for? I don't know who I should be voting for. We need wisdom because of the deceit and the lack of truth that there is around us. So four things, and maybe you're thinking about one of these, or maybe more than one of these things right now. You need to do something to discover wisdom. So let me suggest very quickly some things that you might do in this passage to help us grow in wisdom. First of all, look to God. Look to God. Don't look at yourself. Don't rely on your own thinking. Your own thinking is great. Your own heart might be good at times, but it's not enough. Those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, remember, that's what we say. We're disciples. We're follow. That's what we shoot for. That's what we aim for, to be followers of Jesus. We look to a wisdom beyond ourselves. We don't rely on what's on here and here or up here. Too many of us, that's how we live our lives. It's just whatever I want, because that's what we've been brought up in. But James says to the Jerusalem believers and beyond, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, James 1, verse 5, first part of that, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. He should ask God. So look to God. Some of us are really proud. We're proud because we've got control of our lives. We've sort of come through life and we've got control. We're proud that we've managed to get through life to the point that we are in. But pride can be really dangerous. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 2 says this, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. We should never be a proud people, whether we're individual or whether as a church. We should never be full of pride. Pride is a real danger. It's very, very destructive. And it stops us looking to God. Because with pride, we're looking to ourselves. We're not looking to God. But with humility comes wisdom. So if we seek wisdom, then we are being humble. We're saying, Lord, I cannot do this thing on my own. I do not know what the best thing to do. I need your help. So will you look to God this week for some wisdom? If you've got choices to make, will you seek God? Will you look to God? Second thing is this. How can you grow in wisdom? Well, ask God. Don't just look to him. Ask God. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Notice this. How can I grow in wisdom? He gives wisdom. He's in relationship with us, and he wants us to hear from him. That's why prayer is so important. That's why prayer is such a vital thing that we do. It's not just that we pray in order to say, God, hear. Is the stuff that I'm concerned about. Here's things that are on my heart. We pray and so that we might hear from him. Lord, what should I do this week? I've got this difficult decision to make. He gives wisdom. Notice how he gives wisdom. He gives it generously. God is a generous God. If you've got children and it's birthday time, you want to be generous to them, don't you? You want to give them from the best that you can give them. You want to be thoughtful about that and creative and inventive. And God is like that with us. If we seek his wisdom, he will give generously to us. That's what James says. He gives to all. He doesn't look around and he thinks, right, well, I'm going to, you know, Torsten's been quite good this week and I'll give him some stuff because he's been a good follower. Dave, not quite so much. He gives to all generously in his concern and in his love for us. There is no limit to us. If we're all seeking him, he will give to us. He gives generously and to all. And notice this, without finding fault. I love that that is there. But God isn't looking at us going, right, I'm going to stop you from getting any wisdom because you've been a bad person this week. He's not looking at us, giving us a rough time. He loves us and he wants the best for us. You see, sometimes someone comes to us for wisdom, we you might find yourself in this situation. Someone comes to you wanting some advice or some counsel, and you know that they've made bad decisions in the past, and you look upon them coming to you for wisdom, and you're a little bit negative about them. A lot of pastors have gone through this, people who come looking for counsel, looking for advice, and they've made bad choices in the past, and they have to kind of lay that aside and take each situation as it comes and not judge people. God doesn't judge us in that way. Ultimately, he will judge us. But when we seek his wisdom, he wants us to hear from him. He's not pointing the finger at us and said, you screwed up in the past, you're going to do it again, like a bad father or a bad parent would do. He wants us as genuinely to hear from him. And notice this, without finding fault and every time. There's no limit on this. God gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It's a promise. God is available to us. So how can you grow in wisdom? He gives God, seek God, ask God, because he gives wisdom generously to all without finding fault and every time. Proverbs 2, chapter 2, verse 6 says this, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Thirdly and lastly, we look to God, we ask God. But lastly, we do what God says. Verses 6 to 8. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Do what God says. Now, this isn't to say that we never have doubts. Of course we do. It's human to have doubts. Having doubts often can help us grow closer to God. But this is particularly related to the question of when we need God's wisdom. When we need God's wisdom, he will speak to us. So much of the wisdom that we need from God, where do we find it? Okay, in our modern world, there's lots that the Bible doesn't particularly address. The Bible doesn't talk about very much about our use of Facebook and how often and how long we're on Facebook. Apple helps you do that because it will tell you that you've been on Facebook too long or you've been on your machine too long if you set it up right. The Bible doesn't tell us. What it does tell us very carefully is to make best use of our time, to be good stewards of everything God has given to us. So if we're seeking wisdom, one of the places, if not the best place to find the wisdom of God is as we read God's word. And you know something? One of the things I've learned over the years is that it doesn't matter what age we are, we can never get enough of reading the word of God. Some people have gone through a lifetime of being a follower of Jesus but don't know the word of God very well. There might even be some, dare I say it, there might even be some instantees who don't know the word of God particularly well, even though you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. Let me suggest to you as strongly as I can that this is the place, this is the book in which we find great wisdom from God. That's why it's at the heart of our gathering together. It's why we encourage people to read it day by day, week by week. Because in it, we read the promises of God. If you want to know what God's wisdom for our lives is, we find it in this book, in the Bible. And one of the themes of James is to be not just believers, but to be doers of the word of God. That our faith is worked out in practical ways. That it's not just an intellectual belief, but it is to be seen in how we live our lives and how we use the resources that God has given to us. We're not to be tossed about by what we see happening around us. We're not to be guided by every breath of wind that the world around us says we should be doing or we shouldn't be doing. No, we are to be believers in what God has said. When we talk to God and say, God, what should I do? God has promised that he will guide us through his word and in the power of his Holy Spirit. And so we don't then say, right, well, God has spoken, I'm going to ignore that and go off down this track, as if we are being blown about by the wind. We are not to be double-minded and unstable in all that we do. It's very easy to be double-minded, isn't it? In fact, I would say it's one of the ways of this world to say two things can be true at the same time. I need to be careful about what I say in terms of specifics in this. But we hear about this all the time. People will talk about, well, that's your truth. So people might say to you something like, well, do you know, I have my truth. I'm an atheist or an agnostic. But you have your truth. And your truth is you are a follower of Jesus. So these things are both true. They're true for you, but I have my truth for me. So how can two things which are mutually incompatible be true at the same time? How does that work? You see, we live in a world where people are double-minded, where they are unstable, whether that is to do in matters of belief or whether it's to do in matters of ethics. People are double-minded. And the trouble, one of the problems for us as a church is that that creeps into how we think as well. We begin to think in ways that are double-minded. It's why many churches have got into such trouble in recent years. On the one hand this, on the other hand that. There is no truth anymore. But there is always truth according to the Lord and according to the letter of James. We're not to be double-minded. We're not to be unstable because we believe that God has spoken and speaks. Later on in James, it says this. Who is wise and understanding among you? James chapter 3. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil. You see, there's wisdom that is from us, earthly wisdom, and there is God's wisdom. And God's wisdom flies in the face of everything that destroys. Our choice today is whether we go for our own wisdom, earthly wisdom, or whether we go for God's wisdom. We seek God's wisdom for our lives and for this church. May God help us to seek his wisdom. Let's pray. What wisdom do you need today? What area of your life are you having to make choices in? Maybe it's a practical decision. Maybe it's a decision about some moral or ethical matter that's happening in your life. Maybe you need wisdom from God about the future, about where you should be, how you should serve. Together, let's look to God. Let's ask him. And let's do what he says. And all this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.